Although no man knows the day or the hour of the return of Jesus, the days we live in sure could very well be the last days. Let's learn more from Pastor Mike.
And this is a sign of the end times also. Paul told Timothy in the last days that men will heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, desiring to hear what they want to hear. And that's why some churches have huge, gigantic crowds, because most of them are preaching the Word of God. But there are some that are not even in touch with God, and they use their audience as a way to make gain for themselves.
And I'll stand up and shout and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
This is Chapter and Verse Radio, led by teacher and evangelist Mike McIntosh. All throughout the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus bringing restoration to those he came in contact with. And that's truly the message of all the Gospels, that we can be restored and refreshed in Jesus Christ. Our lesson's titled, We Should Have Known Better, and it's based off the story we'll see in Mark chapter 11. Now let's join Mike as he begins our study that was recorded from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel in Tustin, California, here on Chapter and Verse.
And we're in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 1. Mark, chapter 11, verse 1. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, Go into the village that's opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you'll find a colt tied up, which no one has ever sat upon. Loose it and bring it to me. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way, they found the colt tied up by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, What are you doing, loosening that colt? And they spoke to him, just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road itself, and others cut down leafy branches, palm branches, from the trees and spread them out on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus went into Jerusalem, into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next day, when they'd come out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see it, if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus spoke to it, Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard this. So they came to Jerusalem, and then Jesus went into the temple, and he began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry their wares through the temple. And he taught, saying to them, Is it not written, or in modern day parlance, doesn't the Word of God say, Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. Not some or a few or an inside clique, all the people. When evening had come, he went out of the city. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree that was dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered, and he said to them, "Have faith in God. For I truly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." And they came out again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders all came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" But Jesus answered, and he said to them, "I also will ask you one question, and then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from men," they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Okay, there's six brief movements, passages here, hitting so many subjects, but it just comes right back again to Jesus is the Lord. He is that, like the lyrics of that song that we were just singing. He is the way, he is the truth, and he's the life. So he uses this one day coming up to the temple from Jericho that the people are going to see how off base their religious leaders are. And we get to see how deeply spiritual the people are and in love with God. Just the opposite of their leaders. So it's very cool, some of the things that take place in this study tonight. So we'll just keep on praying and hear what the Lord has to say. So out of Jericho, it's an uphill road that goes to Jerusalem. And he specifically brings in these two communities, two towns. One is Bethphage, which is by Bethany. If you go to the Mount of Olives, it's that community below it and up towards it on the sides of the hill. One side is cemetery, and the other side, there's a big hotel at the top, but there's a lot of neighborhoods around there. So this walk, think of this, just he walked everywhere. He didn't have a green car. He didn't have one with a big Hemi engine in it wasting gas. He had two legs. So he had to walk about just getting up that morning from where this room was that they're going to have their Last Supper and where the donkey was a two-mile walk for him. So that's a good walk early in the day. But he was probably a very healthy person. Just walking from Nazareth down to Jerusalem, be over 70 miles. and you just go down to the Dead Sea and Jericho and you see where he went, the guy's in good shape. And so are the people that follow him. So here's the story. He's at the place where he knows his death is imminent, and the disciples just haven't picked up on this quite just yet, but they're going to very quickly. And he's going to say remarks that are very, very important for the believers. To hear what a person says at the beginning is very important. But to hear at the end of their life what they have to say could be even more important because they have much more experience through knowledge. And that experience that they want to pass on is very, very helpful for us. I remember with Pastor Chuck Smith that I did my best, and so did some others, that we listened to everything when we were with him, because he was more of a person that taught his pastors, the interns and disciples, by example. He served by example, and he literally served everyone at any level he served. And Jesus is going to be doing some things and saying some things that should remain in their minds and in their hearts, because definitely this is a head-on collision meeting with the Lord himself and the religious leaders that are much like this fig tree. From far off, it looks okay. When you get closer to it, you realize it's nothing but leaves. It's just a show. But when you get right down to it and you're hungry, there's no fruit. And that's where Israel was with God, no fruit. And their questions, as the highest ranking people in the country, showed any one of you that just read that, how empty they were. And this is a sign of the end times also. Paul told Timothy in the last days that men will heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, desiring to hear what they want to hear. And that's why some churches have huge, gigantic crowds, because most of them are preaching the Word of God. But there are some that are not even in touch with God, and they use their audience as a way to make gain for themselves. So Israel was, in Jeremiah's time, God said, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see a basket of figs." And God began to speak to Jeremiah, "You're going to talk to the people, and they're not going to like what you have to say, but these figs are like my people." And he said, "What about these figs?" And you'll remember that he said, "Well, some of the figs were really, really good to eat, but others of the figs were really, really bad." So now we have this parable. And Jesus said about Israel, when the fig tree blossoms, you know that summer is near. So we know it wasn't near summer, because this was not bearing any fruit. But he said, when the fig tree blossoms, then know that my coming is at hand. So it is blossoming and it's bearing fruit in your lifetime. And one day is equal to 1,000 years to God, and 1,000 years is equal to one day. And you are living at a very historic time. It's a very thrilling time. It's just what the Bible promised: wicked, evil, lawless, rejection of God time. And so what do we do with our lives? Do we just sit on the corner bus stop bench waiting for the bus to come, or do we go get some last-minute shopping done next door, or go get something to eat or drink since you've got a little bit of time, but you're keeping your eye on the bus stop just in case he gets there? So he really blesses in this chapter for the people that are looking. They'll find all sorts of riches and jewels that are here. So situation in Jesus' eyes is all taken care of already, because he knows all things. But he tells him exactly where to go. And I ask the question, when he said you'll find this foal or a fairly young colt of an ass, and you see this, go and do it. And if anybody says, "What are you doing?" then you say to them, the Lord has need of this and he's commanded. So did he say that because prophecy in his mind, he saw the future and he knew exactly where it would be? Or was it a different perspective that he was in touch with the owner? Remember, the same thing happened about go and say the master has need for the Passover. And he got somebody's upper room, which was a dining area. It was a neighborhood gathering place, the upper room, which would be an extra room, which would mean whoever had that real estate probably had money compared to other people that would be in shacks or tents or nomadic. So there's somebody on the outskirts of Jerusalem that uses their money and their assets for the glory of God, which is cool. So if it was something predetermined and this man accepted Jesus, say, by the Sea of Galilee or maybe even down in Jericho, and the man said, if you ever have need of transportation, I've got a whole bunch of donkeys and camels. Whatever you need, you just take it. And if anybody stops you, just say, the master has need of this. So either that was a preset arrangement or it was the Lord saying, I can see what's going to happen here and this is what will happen. Now, what I find interesting and helpful for you and me is, so they went their way, they found this colt, the baby, that was tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. Some of those who stood there said to him, what are you doing taking this colt? And they spoke to him, just as Jesus commanded. So they let him go. Now that's a very simple statement that Mark writes down, but it's so important for every pastor, for anybody that's serving the body of Christ. Just say what the Lord has commanded and don't make up goofy things of gold falling out of the ceiling or crazy things. Just what the Lord has given, Jesus Christ and him crucified, the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church, Jesus Christ and him, and that's basically what they're saying. We're only doing what his word commanded us to do. And that's a great foundation to stand on, is his word. For any situation in your life, stand on the word of God. And if you don't stand for the word and his righteousness, you'll end up falling for everything or dumb things. And the devil will take great advantage of you and your family. So stay on the word of God. Believe the word of God. Trust the word of God. And God will do fantastic things with you. So he's getting close to the holiday. He knows where he's going. He knows what he's doing. And as a follower, it's always good to have a leader that knows where they're going and they know what they're doing. So this is sort of a before and after. They said, tell him the Lord, meaning this person that owned this knew him as the Lord, meaning he was submissive to heaven. And anything he owned, God owned, which I think is really beautiful. The Lord. And when the word went, the master probably said to some of his work people that, hey, I've lent the baby donkey out to somebody, and if somebody comes up, you go ahead and ask them. You're part of the security team, and the password will be, the Lord has need of him. I don't know if that's how it happened, but you can get the idea here. There's something going on between the Lord and a silent disciple, a silent person that isn't necessarily a preacher, a healer, an evangelist, a miracle worker, but they are part of the overall picture of God's kingdom because we're all one family and God is no respecter of persons. So it's so important for us to always remember we are his servants. And whatever we have has come from him. And if we have access, you are now his banker and his financier to help others that don't have excess or even a day's worth of whatever it is. So to be open that if he has need for this or that or this over here and you just don't hold on to it, that's a great gift. And it's a great stewardship on your behalf too. So this is what happens. They found out that it was okay. Okay, go ahead and take this. And when they did, they started laying down like carpet, but it was palm branches and it was clothing. But it was a sign of royalty coming in. And this is so important for us that this is actually taking place, because you are seeing right here actual Bible prophetic utterance from the Old Testament being fulfilled right here in the New Testament. They asked him, they said, okay, we need him. But then they cried out with loud voices, and those who followed cried out, Hosanna. Now, you and I are a little bit different than these people, in a sense, because "and all those that followed" means Jesus, the donkey, he's at the head, he's leading, and the people in the back of the crowd are following. But you and I are following. We're at the back end of a dying generation right now, the largest age group generation ever, and we're going to heaven at very fast, quick rates. So we're at the following part. But also, since we're at the following part, we're also at the forward part, because we look over our shoulder. There's a brand new generation following Jesus, and a brand new crowd that doesn't even know Jesus. And so you and I are the tail end of what God has done in a generation, and now we are going to turn around and see the crowds that are coming and pass the torch, so to speak. So we're in a great spot. There's not enough time to do everything that we could do if we could do it, because of this position. You were chosen by the Lord to be alive at this time, not in 1822 or 1574. You were created to be part of his kingdom on earth at this time, when the earth is definitely fading away. So your position is fantastic, and you can be used to do what Revelation says. The bride has prepared herself and made herself ready. So it's interaction as part of that, making themselves ready, that you and I get to help people and support them, encourage them, lift them up. And then we get to turn around and say, wow, here's a younger group coming up. We're right eyeball to eyeball with Jesus, but now they can see him way off. But the one after that, they're going to be further and further away from what these people saw that we're reading tonight. So be grateful to God that you woke up this morning, because he's going to use you. Like on the way back to San Diego late at night, there's a lot of traffic once you get to South County and cross the Camp Pendleton area. And so if you were ever driving along there late on a Sunday night and saw me pulled over with a highway patrol with his lights flashing and he's there talking to me, I just want you to say a prayer, because I'm only witnessing to him. I'm just using my gift to witness to him. And he used his gift to stop me from witnessing. So be ready for the Lord. So since you're in a very special place, you need to take advantage of it. The question here is, Hosanna. This tremendous cry from the crowd. Now, Daniel, in the 9th chapter of his book, spoke about this very day. Again, Zechariah spoke about this day, that the Lord will come in Jerusalem and be riding humbly or lowly on the baby, the birth of a young ass. And so we're just reading and looking at something that was already prophesied. So here you are at the back of one line saying, oh yeah, that came to pass.
That's Mike McIntosh completing the teaching portion of our time today on Chapter and Verse. We'll pick up right here next time in this practical study called We Should Have Known Better. In its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and we'll be devoting 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know that daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's program here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com, and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. Chapter and Verse only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So we do appreciate you praying for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us at Chapter and Verse. P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Be with us next time for more from the Gospel of Mark. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.